Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Brian Wilson, and so pleased to be joined again by Mary Walter. Hello, Mary.
Hello, and I am so pleased to be here.
There have been a number of people from Somalia connected to Al-Shabaab who have been convicted in the United States.
Is that in the record? Can you point us to what, where in the record you're referring?
It is not in the record.
Well, that was part of the deliberations, the testimony before the three-judge panel from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday. It all has to do with the president's immigration order, which, as you know, has been put on hold because of a judge's action in Seattle. Joining us on the line, he was with us yesterday. He was so good on this. I asked that he be brought back here today to help us understand what happened last night. Ken Klukowski, who is the legal editor with Breitbart News and a senior fellow at the American Civil Rights Union. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Brian.
All right, so how did it go last night for the administration?
Well, it's ironic, that clip that you just played. Whenever you're doing a news write-up on an hour-long court hearing, you try and figure out what quotes you want to use, and that was one that I almost put in. And I said, no, the piece is too long, and so I just went without it. And that's the one you just ran with right there, was the issue there with Judge Friedland challenging whether something important was in the record. This hearing went the way I expected it would before this panel, where you have one staunchly liberal judge, one left-leaning judge, and one center-right judge. So you have very different views, not just on the law, such as immigration laws, but also the role of the courts in a controversy like this. And I think that's what we saw play out. Only a fool, I'll say this from having covered the U.S. Supreme Court since 2008, only a fool makes predictions based on how oral argument goes in any sort of in a sort of court hearing. But that said, you know, let's step out on a limb and risk being foolish here. It looked like the way the court should go, just to say that the plaintiffs in this case lack standing to bring that lawsuit, that even if there were violations of the Constitution or federal statute going on here, it was the wrong plaintiffs, in this case the state of Washington and the state of Minnesota, sometimes suing the wrong defendant, such as suing the president. You can't sue the president of the United States on an executive order because it doesn't order you to do anything. An executive order is the president ordering some of his subordinate employees in the federal government to do something. If they do something that impacts you or your family or your company, then you could sue regarding that, but you can't sue regarding the words that come out of the president's mouth or from his office on a piece of paper to someone else. That was raised to an extent by the Justice Department, but it looked like a majority of the panel, again with the philosophical makeup that I described, that they were not going there. That many of the counts being raised, again, whether the court had jurisdiction, either this court or the court below, you might have had one judge there, but not all the judges were going there. So it looked like the court is going to claim jurisdiction, even though they don't really have it, and get to the underlying legal arguments of the situation. And at that point, I think it becomes a real uphill climb for the Justice Department, because as I believe we discussed yesterday, this is a temporary restraining order, which under the federal rules only lasts for a few days. It's a fire alarm measure. You pull it when the house is on fire, and it's only there long enough to get the fire put out. Then you start talking about the legal merits of the case. Now, the judge in this case, the district court judge, reinforced that right before the hearing. He just published his scheduling order for the next week to decide the next stage of litigation, which would be whether to grant a preliminary injunction, which he surely will, but did that to emphasize that what was before the Ninth Circuit last night was not yet a preliminary injunction. It was merely this stopgap temporary restraining order.
Right.
And again, under federal statute, the Ninth Circuit doesn't even have jurisdiction to rule on.
Can I just interrupt you very briefly? You're talking, this is sort of in the weeds a little bit.
Yes, it is.
But because we're not really talking about the merits of the case and whether the president acted constitutionally. That has
right.
not, this is not even up for discussion yet.
That's right. Now, ironically, half of the court may try and push it there, and that is where the more conservative judge on the panel, Judge Clifton, tried to reach to that.
Right.
Because he said, okay, even if we get past all this, one of the factors for a preliminary injunction or a TRO, one of the prime factors for granting either is whether the plaintiffs have a substantial likelihood of ultimate success on the merits. And because that's a prong, the discussion at some point reaches those underlying legal issues. Once you got there, it became much more clear that at least one of the more liberal judges thought that the government actions here were illegal, but that the more conservative judge, the George W. Bush appointee, pointed out to the plaintiffs how absurd their argument was, because the plaintiffs were saying, this is a Muslim ban. Judge Clifton came back and said, wait a second, this is only 7 countries, not including some of the largest Muslim countries in the world. He said, I'm just sketching out some math here. It looks like this only impacts less than 15% of Muslims. How can this be a Muslim ban?
Everyone, please. That I've read about and I've heard so far saying, regardless of which side wins this, it's going to the Supremes. This is going all the way up. With only 8 justices on the court, if the vote goes along party lines, as everyone expects it to do, this lower court ruling will stand. Where does that leave the administration?
Well, and I actually think it's a big assumption as to whether or not Justice Anthony Kennedy would side with the Republican side on this case. He may, but he may not. There have been immigration cases over the past 10 years, some of which Justice Kennedy has been on one side, other times he's been on others. I think only Justice Kennedy knows where he's coming down on this, and maybe not until he has the legal brief. So right now it could be a 4-4 lock at the Supreme Court. It could be that the challengers currently have it 5-3, and that even adding a ninth justice would make it 5-4.
So where does that leave Trump, though? Does this mean he can never put an immigration halt in the way previous presidents have?
No, because first of all, Anthony Kennedy may well side with the administration here. And if so, getting Judge Gorsuch confirmed would mean a 5-4 win. Also,
right.
We should expect in the next couple of years that the president is going to have 1 or 2 additional Supreme Court picks, meaning even if he's one vote shy now, and I think he has a real good chance of winning.
Right. So it could just be for now, but then once they get Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, then he can bring it back.
That is correct, because there's two different procedural routes this could go. One of these would get this to the Supreme Court by March or April, the other not until the fall.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Ken Kuklowski, very, very, very complicated legal matters, but a very important issue. Thank you for your expertise.
We try and break it down as best we can. Thanks
That's
so much,
right. Sir. Thanks a lot.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.